if we got anybody nursery time or not, but if so, this is time for the nursery. Five and under, or if you act like you're five and under. I'm going to give you a little bit of an update on a couple of things with me that anyway, it's all good, but just a little bit of information. This foot has just about healed. And I've been dealing with this for 16 years. We're hoping another week or two that I'm coming out of the cast. We just got to find something that I can wear. I don't know if you got to make it or what you got to do, but anyway, we got to get me something, and I'll have to keep a close eye on it to make sure I don't re-injure it, but it's just about there, so we're really tickled. The other day, I got a phone call from the kidney transplant team at the University of Kentucky, and they wanted an update on my foot, see what was going on. I said, well, I gave them an update, and they said, well, just as soon as Dr. Nassar says that it's cleared, then we're ready to start testing. Now, as Marsha will tell you, that testing takes sometimes up to a couple, 2 or 3 months, what all they put you through. But, you know, we'll start that. Doesn't mean I'm going to pass. We're praying that we do. But if I do, then eventually I will go on a kidney transplant list. When that happens, then as a church, you guys have to be ready for something. If I get the phone call, I'm gone. And I'm probably going to be out of commission for 2 or 3 months. So we'll have to, I need for you guys to understand something. I'm really hoping within this year or close, this is coming. But I got to have peace of mind knowing that when I walk away from this place for a couple of months, I want a place to come back to. We got to keep it going. We'll try to get people in here to preach, people to do whatever, but I cannot be around anybody for at least 2 to 3 months. So this is part of the process. The surgery only be in the hospital about 5 or 6 days, but because of your body can reject this kidney and stuff, anybody around me has to have a mask. I can't be around crowds of people. And I'm telling them the truth here, aren't I, Marcia? I mean, it's going to take me out of circulation for a little bit. But in the scheme of my life, I think it would secure for me a very good quality of life for the rest of my life. And not that I don't have a quality of life, I do. Most people look at me and never know that I'm on dialysis. I have functioned very well for 4 years. In the making of this, down 80 pounds, this suit follows me home. Yeah, yeah, well, they told me either lose the weight or die, you know, I mean, they didn't beat around the bush. When they tell you that, you lose the weight. And but anyway, just letting you know these are some things that as the year progresses, and this is all good news. Of course, if something happens, if they find out something that they don't like in the testing, then they can turn me down. And if they turn me down, then they turn me down, and I'll just do what I do for the rest of my life, as long as I live. That's right. Yes, thank you for bringing that to my attention. She said you have to have a psychological test. I'm going to pass that, Jan, I promise. All right, Jan, I'm going to pass that on you. That's right. That's right. You don't want to see after church. All right. But anyway, keep me in prayer. It's all good. We're heading in the right direction. And I may even buy me a new wardrobe when this is all over with. So, you know, who knows. But that's it. I love you guys. And I'm doing this as much for my family as I am you, but if I can get this, folks, it means that you will have to listen to me for a long, long, long time. Carl, give me a hand of applause. All right, here we go, Larry. There you go. Gospel of John.
And it's spelled right.
And it's spelled right. I'm proud of it too. Yes, sir. All right. Now, as I go through the Gospel of John, we're not taking this verse by verse, but I am trying to pick up on what you need to see, the mindset of Jesus. What Jesus is all about, plus what he's up against. Believe me, there are people that are fighting Jesus on every step that he takes. And yet, everything that he does, he has a reason behind it. And in the Gospel of John, more than even the other Gospels, you see where he deals with people one-on-one. This is what I love about Jesus. Jesus loves each and every one of us as we are. Looks beyond our fault, looks beyond everything that's about us, and sees our potential. Do you understand that? Give the Lord amen. Huh? Right. Now, after these days, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. There are basically three of these feasts a year. I'm not going to get into all of that, but it was a time where the Jews gathered into Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a multitude of them that were sick, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. The tradition was that certain times of the year, especially during these feasts, in these little pools that they were, that when the water sort of trickled, had little waves in it, if you got to the water and got in it, whatever your problem was, you could be healed. Now, understand this, as we get into this, that you understand, when the water begins to move, these people are running to try to get to this water. Okay? You better mind. Alright, here we go, Larry. For the angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and troubled the water, which means move the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole. And whatsoever disease, he was whole. You ever heard the term first come, first serve? Whoever got to the water first, got the healing. That's why they're running. Why they're trying to get there. First one in, then there's healing. Alright. And a certain man was there who had been 38 years in his infirmity. Now, that's the King James way of saying, this man has had this affliction for 38 years. I've had to deal with this foot for 16 years, and it feels like a lifetime I've had to deal with it. If you're in pain, if you're hurting, no matter how length of time that's going on, it feels like a lifetime. Don't it? I don't care what it is. If you're dealing with cancer, you're dealing with heart, you have a knee replacement, hip replacement, if it hurts, it seems like a lifetime. Now, it may only have been something you've dealt with for a week, but if it hurts, a week is a long time. Can you imagine? 38 years, this poor old man is trying to get to the water and can't get to the water to get healed. Do you get the picture? Say amen. Amen. All right, Larry, here we go. When Jesus saw him lying and knew that he had been now a long time, in that case, he saith unto him, without me being whole. Jesus walks up, knows that this man has had this disease for 38 years. And just ask him a question. He said, would you like to be healed? Now, some would say, well, that's a dumb question. But remember, Jesus has a reason for everything he does. He wants to make sure that this man says to him what he wants to hear. He just didn't automatically go up and touch him and say, hey, you're healed. He wants to have a conversation with this man. First of all, he's going to ask him. Look what happens. The sick man answered him and said, sir, I am no man when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. He says, here's my problem. I'm trying to get to the water. I have nobody to carry me. Now, maybe this man is lame. Maybe he's blind. Maybe he's a little bit of everything. But he said, I can't find nobody to carry me to the water. So by the time I get there, they all get around me and beat me to it. See what he's saying? First one in the water gets healed. He said, I can't never get there fast enough. Man, sounds pitiful. 38 years. 38 years. So don't cry over something that takes you 48 hours and you quit. Now, not all of you can be as good a patient as I am. I got a lot of patience. Pain don't bother me. I live with it. I understand it. Monica, what's your favorite saying that you tell me day after day, day after day, day after day, day after day? I'm not done yet. Day after day. Day after day.
Time and patience.
I hear that four times a day. It takes time and patience, time and patience, time and patience, time and patience. She's even got a song about it. It takes time and patience. Yes, it does. Because you're the most impatient man there ever was. Now, most of you in the medical field know that men make better patients than women, right? Marcia, don't take my side. Don't, you know. All right, let's go, Larry. Jesus saith unto him, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. And straightway the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. Now, it was the Sabbath day. 38 years this man has been crippled, and now he gets up, can even not only walk, but can pick up his bed. But it happened to be on the Sabbath. All right, you see where this is going, don't you? All right, here we go, Larry. Jesus said, I'm sorry, verse 10. So the Jews said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath. It's not lawful for thee to take up thy bed. Now, you would think, let me make sure you understand something. You would think, after 38 years of this poor, pitiful, invalid, blind man trying to get to the pool first to get healed, finally is healed, walking around, excited, carrying his bed, and somebody comes up to him and says, what are you doing carrying your bed? Why wouldn't they say, oh, Lord, look who it is. Look what's going on. You've been healed. No. What are you doing carrying your bed? It's a Sabbath. In other words, correcting him for carrying his bed. Not excited that the man can now walk. Not excited that the man can now see. But just the fact that he's broke some of some man-made law. You get that? Am I reading the same thing here? Alright, look what he says. But he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Now, sort of cute. The man knows he's in trouble, so he's going to blame Jesus. He said, now let me tell you something. This man can get in some serious trouble for breaking the law. Could even be stoned. He said, hey, this is what I was told to do. The man that came up and healed me told me to take out my bed. Just threw Jesus right under the bus. You get that? Anybody ever thrown you under the bus before? Huh? Alright. They asked him, who is the man? The that sit unto thee, take out thy bed and walk. But he that was healed knew not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in a place. So I don't know who it was. Jesus just said, take your bed and walk, and Jesus just sort the spirit. There's a reason for that. We'll get to that in a minute. He said, I don't know who it was. He just told me to pick up my bed and to go. I feel great. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more. Lest the worst thing befall thee. And the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him whole. So he goes to church. Good place for him to go. Finds Jesus there. Good place for Jesus to be. And Jesus says, now that you're healed physically, I want you to be healed spiritually. Now, Jesus has a reason for everything that he does. Before he could talk to him about his sin and to heal him spiritually, he had to heal him physically first. And now the man comes to church. And Jesus says, now let's get to what's really important. And that's your soul. He said, and if you don't listen to me, if you turn your back and you go back to the old lifestyle, if you think it was bad before, it's going to really get bad. Now, here's something I really want you to see, because a lot of people just pass right over this. When I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, he saved me. And this was a process of a change. And that change has been working on me for 50 years. I'm still not perfect. Never going to be perfect. But I do try. I try to live for the Lord. I try to do the right thing. But here's the warning. Listen to me closely. Those of you watching me by internet, listen to me closely. When you give your life to Jesus, and for whatever reason, all of a sudden you turn your back on Jesus, Revelations calls that being lukewarm. You'd have been better off to have never, ever had a relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus don't take being slapped in the face very easily. And believe me, if you're not very careful, we all can slap Jesus in the face. And that's not a pleasant thing. And you say, oh, no, I'd never do that. Every time that you sin, and every time you get out of church, and every time that you go back to whatever old way of life that you had after supposedly you've accepted Jesus Christ, the warning is your life's going to get worse. Now, people, when this happens, and they turn their backs on God, and things begin to happen to them, then they get mad. So now, we're going to go to blaming God. Instead of running to God, we're going to blame God. And it goes from bad to worse. And if people want to know why their lives are the shape that they're in, it don't take no rocket science to figure this out, people. It really doesn't. Don't play games with Jesus. I promise you, Jesus don't like games. That's not how he operates. He operates with sincerity, and he operates with grace. But when you make a mockery of him, and make a mockery of his church, and make a mockery of his grace, I promise you, verse 14 will come alive. Lest a worse day befall you. Do you see it? Give the Lord a hand of applause. Now the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made For this cause the Jews persecuted Jesus because he did these things on the Sabbath. Actually, in the Greek it says they begin to persecute Jesus. Man's healed. Man's life is changed. But Jesus had the nerve to do it on the Sabbath. These people could care less about this man. Could care less about him being healed. All they were concerned with is some petty law. And believe me, this is way above the Ten Commandments. This is man-made stuff. And told him that they're going to persecute him because he made some old man's life better. Is that pathetic? Now, this is the kind of world that Jesus But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh even unto now, and I work. For this cause, therefore, the Jews sought more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also called God his own Father, making himself equal to God." He said, "I'll do my Father's will. I don't care if it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I don't care if it's morning, noon, night, or in the middle of the night. I will do the will of my Father." Jesus is a very determined person. So determined that later on it's going to cost him the cross. But he was determined when he came to do one thing, and that was to make a way for you and to make a way for me, that we could all have eternal life and eternity in heaven and a place to call home one day when we take our last breath. That was his whole purpose, and he did it because he loved us. Give the Lord a hand on that. Now, some would say, you know, the old man again came back and threw him under the bus. No, he really didn't. All he did was say, "Hey, Jesus is the one that healed me." He just said, "I'm not ashamed." Jesus knew that that's what he was going to do. Jesus knew he was going to have to deal with these people. But in dealing with these people, he may win a few of them. You remember Nicodemus, don't you? Nicodemus was one of the sharpest of these people. One of the worst critics that he had. And yet once Nicodemus sat down with him one-on-one, Jesus won him over. You see, it doesn't matter what your past, who you are, what you've done. If you're willing to listen to Jesus, if you're willing to understand all that he's done for you, he will give you eternal life, and he will change your life, and he will build you a home in heaven. And no matter what you have to deal with here on this planet, because nobody is promised a perfect life. Anybody in this room got a perfect life? Matter of fact, some of you have a whole lot to deal with. I've had a whole lot to deal with. That don't make any difference. Because what I've got to deal with now compares nothing to what Jesus had to deal with. But one of these days, when I take my last breath, because of Jesus Christ who loved me, I'm not going to have no more pain, no more suffering, no more death. I'm not going to have to deal with all that because the former things have passed away. That's what we shared at Brother Jim's funeral. It's all gone. Jim ain't hurt no more. Jim's in a place that I guarantee you, he can't wait till we get there with him. And as much as we miss him, we wouldn't have him back. Because he is in a much, much better place. He's in the presence of God, a home built for him. Everybody understand it? Give the Lord one more hand on the Bible. Thank you. every head is bowed, and every eye is closed. Father, bless these moments. How thankful we are that your presence is in this church. Your spirit is alive within this church. Father, bless us. Bless this invitation. Touch the lives of our people. Father, as we open up our hearts to you, may you truly give us grace today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.